Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook. Welcome to Taking It to the Streets for this Monday, February 20th, 2023. Tonight, we will continue our transformational journey with part four of Overcoming Fear and Anxiety. Tonight's program is entitled, Know Your Adversary. But before we get into the lesson for tonight, I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come once again before your throne, just asking, Father God, that I completely decrease so that you might increase. Lord God, please use me, Lord, to impart your word in a way that your people, Lord God, will be able to hear, receive, apply, and share it in their daily lives. Yeah. Father, I pray that on tonight someone will be delivered from the spirit of fear, will be, hallelujah, transformed from anxious to peaceful, will be, hallelujah, changed in their heart, in their mind, and in their spirit. So, Lord, I just want to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. And it is in your son, Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. So tonight, the program is indeed entitled, Know Your Adversary. And before I begin, let me just preface this teaching by saying, tonight's teaching is going to be very hard. And I'm going to ask you to do some very hard things, like get real with yourself. Because the word, the teaching for tonight might very well just save your life. There's a word from on high recorded in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, and it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, in our last teaching, I shared with you some of the evil spirits that can rush in like a flood when we allow fear and anxiety to dictate our lives. So tonight, I'm going to begin to break these spirits down with scripture so we can see what God says about them, because I don't want anyone to have any doubt about what spirit is of God and those that are not. I'm also going to give you examples of how these spirits operate to demonstrate how easily we can entertain them if we don't keep our hearts, mind, and spirit stayed on Jesus. Now, in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, we will find these words. Because the spirits that I will be describing tonight are all because of this scripture right here, the works of the flesh. And the word of God reads, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The first spirit that I'm going to be dealing with, four spirits tonight, or I would say two set of twins. Tonight we're going to be looking at spiritual pride. We're going to be looking at the spirit of haughtiness and the spirit of envy and jealousy. So the first spirit that we're going to look at is the spirit of spiritual pride. Now, saints of God, there is a difference between the kind of pride that God hates, as recorded in Proverbs 8 and 13, where he tells us the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and a forward mouth do I hate. Now, that's one kind of pride, but there's a difference between that kind of pride and the kind of pride we can feel about a job well done, such as recorded in Galatians 6 and 4, which tells us, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Or the kind of pride we express over the accomplishments of loved ones, as recorded in 2 Corinthians 7 and 4, which says, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulations. Nope. Now, those latter two were not the sort of pride I was speaking of. But the kind of pride I'm talking about is that pride that stems from self-righteousness or conceit, which is a sin. And it's a sin that God absolutely hates. Why does he hate it? He hates it because it is a hindrance to seeking him. Psalm 10 and 4 explains that the proud are so consumed with themselves that their thoughts are far from God. You see, in his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. This kind of haughty pride is the exact opposite of the spirit of humility that God wants for us, where he records in Matthew 5 and 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, the poor in spirit are those who recognize their utter spiritual bankruptcy and their inability to come to God aside from his divine grace, okay? Now, the proud, on the other hand, are so blinded by their pride that they think they have no need of God, or worse, that God should accept them as they are because they deserve his acceptance. Throughout Scripture, we are told about the consequences of pride. In Proverbs 16, 18 through 19, it tells us that pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Do you know, for those of you that might not know, I came to tell you that, do you know that Satan was cast out of heaven because of pride? Read Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. You see, he had the selfish audacity to attempt to replace God himself as the rightful ruler of the universe. But Satan will be cast down to hell in the final judgment of God. You see, for those who rise up in defiance against God, there is nothing ahead for them but disaster. Just ask Isaiah. He tells us this in chapter 14, verse 22. You know, pride has kept many people from accepting Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, because admitting sin and acknowledging that in our own strength we can do nothing to inherit eternal life can be a constant stumbling block for prideful people. You see, we are not to boast about ourselves. If we want to boast, then we are to proclaim the glories of God. You see, what we say about ourselves means nothing in the scheme of God's work. But it is what God says about us that makes the difference. So some say, why is pride so sinful, Apostle? Well, pride is so sinful because it is giving ourselves the credit for something that God and God alone has accomplished. Pride is taking the glory that belongs to God alone and trying to keep it for ourselves. Pride is essentially self-worship. You see, anything we accomplish in this world would not have been possible were it not for God and his amazing grace and his hallelujah supernatural sustaining power. You see, spiritual pride is one of the most harmful sins to our faith because pride says, I've got this. And it causes you to look away from Jesus so that you can shine that spotlight all on your little old self. Today, the more independent you are said to be, the more you're applauded. You know, they applaud things like self-starters, self-reliance, self-sustaining. These are all ways to describe someone who has, quote, unquote, made it by the world's standards. But you see, God calls us to live by faith and live that faith out by being selfless, by being servants, by being dependent. Excuse me. And by being humble. So, what does spiritual pride look like? Well, thanks God, it can sometimes be real difficult to spot. Why? Because there are so many of us Christians that are so very proud of the fact that they have their false humility down pat. Yes, they do. Or so they think they do. You see, spiritual pride is what happens when we believe we've got God, the Bible, and Christian life all figured out. It can make us feel superior to others, and it often leads to criticism, defensiveness, and self-focus. You know, when you stop and think about who was Jesus most critical of during his time here on earth, well, you can best believe it wasn't the sinners. Instead, it was always those people who had all that spiritual pride, those who were so confident that they were God's favorites because they were doing everything right. Notice, I said they were doing. They believed they were doing everything right. But you know what they were really doing, thanks God? What they really did, if I may be so blunt, is they became mean, they became condescending, and they would bully anybody who disagreed with them. So to Jesus, spiritual pride was one of the most significant problems a person can have. In one memorable story, a woman caught sleeping with a man who wasn't her husband was brought to Jesus. Now, Jesus does tell her to go and sin no more, but that was only after challenging the spiritual pride of those who brought the woman before him in the first place. So we need to be on the lookout for spiritual pride in our own lives. You know, and you might be there, well, I don't see myself as experiencing. How do I know I'm experiencing it? Well, first, if anyone thinks to themselves, I would never, ever entertain spiritual pride, then you're probably walking in spiritual pride, okay?
Amen.
But now, there's a few other ways you can tell, too. Have you ever noticed people that are always doing these unhealthy comparisons? And you saying comparisons, apostle? Comparison leads to pride? Really? Yes, really. And let me show you why. You see, our journey with Christ is completely our own. And to compare what God has blessed others with, whether it be children, marriage, income, that takes away from us delighting in how he's blessed our lives. You see, comparison can kill your joy. And then once your joy is gone, guess what comes in, rushes in like a flood, envy. You see,
And right behind him, like, and right behind him becomes her boxy, her demonic boxy twin, jealousy. You know, what pride does is it tells you that, oh, you're better than them. You deserve what they have. You deserve what they have. Another thing that you can, another way to check for spiritual pride is defensiveness. Look, everyone messes up. But how do you handle that mistake or sin? Does it make you defensive and irritated that you've been accused? For you see, pride doesn't notice its own mistakes. But oh, it's so amazing how it notices everyone else's. Oh, but don't you dare push back on pride. Mm-mm. And don't read pride. Oh, because they will give you one good hissy fit. Now, we're going to have to get, this is one of those hard things I told you that I was going to ask you to do. And that's get really honest. Maybe you might be, you know, you might be too close for comfort. Spiritual pride might be too close for comfort if you get really honest and then you think about how much of your day is spent thinking about you, what you want, what you don't have, what you need to be happy. How often do you consider the needs and the perspectives of people around you? Maybe that coworker, maybe that cashier at the grocery store, maybe that homeless man on the street. You see, the problem with self-obsession is that it doesn't leave any room for anyone else, not even God. It's hard to love God and your neighbors when you can only think of yourself. But you know what? You don't have to stay on this spiritual pride roller coaster. No, you don't. Because, see, we're overcomers. We're overcoming fear. We're overcoming these. We can overcome these spirits. Why? How? Pray for humility. That's one.
Yes.
When we ask God for characteristics like humility, you know what he does? He answers us by giving us opportunities to be humble. You won't just wake up one day without the urge to compare yourself to others, but you will, with God's help, learn how to celebrate others, and you will be able to do it without being jealous or envious. You will truly be able to rejoice with them. Then another way you can remember them so that you don't fall into the trap of spiritual pride is to always give grace. One of my mentors always said it's really hard to hate someone who prays for you. And it really is. If you feel defensive because somebody wronged you, try praying for them. I mean, thank God for them. Ask God himself to bless their lives. And soon, what was so divisive doesn't seem to matter anymore. You see, grace can open the door for you to receive truth that pride might be trying to shut your eyes to in this life. And then we have to practice reliance. If we're relying on God's word, if we're relying on trusting in God, if we trust on, you know, God calls us to be completely dependent upon him. Yeah. We can't be dependent on him with a backup plan. No. We have to totally and completely be dependent upon him. Now, this does not mean that we're inactive in our faith. It just means we properly place our reliance in him. Not on the degrees we have, the jobs we have, the deals we can make, our gift of gab. No, reliance equals trusting that God will take care of you.
Yes. Amen.
And when you do that, it takes the pressure off.
Yeah.
You see, we can't do everything, but God sure can. He sure can. And then be prepared. I always hear Pastor Vanessa say this. Have a reachable, teachable spirit. Become a student. I mean a real student. If you don't want to fall into the trap of spiritual pride, keep a reachable, teachable spirit, because each follower of Jesus is unique and will understand God through the lens of their culture, their experiences, and their relationships. And this is good news, because that means everyone has something to teach us about God. So can we please, some of us, please just stop pretending that we know it all and just approach every conversation as a student that's going to have some questions? I mean, can we just really start actively listening with the hopes of coming up on a good nugget that the Lord might have just for us? Can we do that rather than trying to be the teacher that has all the answers? See, Jesus shows us a better way of living. The only one who can claim to know everything and live perfectly is him. Yet, Jesus didn't live with pride. In fact, he did the opposite. I mean the polar opposite. He lived with humble love for others. Oh, he did challenge sin. Oh, yes, he did. But when he challenged sin, it was almost always in a hope-filled, restorative way. And Jesus invites us to live with that same kind of love. And when we stay close to him, we learn a better way of life while remaining humble, forgiving, and we're going to always be willing to learn more. So why is spiritual pride one of the most harmful sins we can struggle with? Well, because it's the opposite of love. Just stay with me. Humility seems like it's the opposite of pride. But when you dig a little deeper, you'll find the true opposite is love. You see, we need to allow Jesus to undo the knots of spiritual pride that we might have created in our hearts. We know, you know, we've got to get real and come down to earth and say, hey, wait a minute now. I'm not any better than anybody else. And I know I'm not perfect. I'm not Holy Ghost Junior. And the world does not revolve around me. The Lord created the world. And most people don't pay half attention to him, even when they call themselves knowing him. See, if we want to not fall into the trap of pride, or if we fallen into that trap, we need to humbly, graciously, and gratefully allow God to undo that. Jesus didn't consider himself too spiritually great to help us. And he's love. And we can be less prideful and more loving every day if we allow him to work in our hearts. You see, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. And it always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always perseveres. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. So the word of God says in 1 Corinthians, what do you have that you do not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? See, Praise God. That is why we give God and God alone the glory, because he and he alone deserves it. So that's just a little bit about spiritual pride. But if you would like to dig deeper, if you have something to write with and to write on, you can find more scripture about this topic in James 4, verse 6. That's James 4, verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. That's Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Of course, we read and looked at Proverbs 8 and 13. You can also look at Proverbs 16 and 5, Proverbs 16 and 18, Proverbs 26, verse 12. Then you can move to Psalm 10 and 4, which I read, Isaiah 2 and 12. That's Isaiah 2 and 12. Galatians 6:4, Romans 12, verse 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, and 1 Corinthians 1, verses 27 through 29. Hallelujah. Now, as I said, I'm dealing with two sets of twins tonight. So wherever you see that spiritual pride, you're also going to see the spirit of haughtiness. And the word haughty is defined by Merriam Dictionary as blatantly and disdainfully proud. The word is always used in the Bible in the evil sense of arrogant, disdainful, and setting oneself above others. It is often set in contrast, once again, to being humble. And as I have told you before, God hates it. Proverbs 6:16 through 17. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Now, the first thing I want to highlight about haughty eyes is that God hates them. If you have not heard me say that enough, God hates them. And do we even need another reason to run from pride than that one? You see, I want you to understand how strong that statement is when I say God hates it. See, this is something that God detests, that he loathes, that he abhors. You see, this gets God's attention placed on you, but not in the way you would want it to. See, if you choose to operate with haughty eyes, you are choosing something God hates. So if he hates it, guess what? He is then also against you. That's why James 4 and 6 says, but he gives us more grace. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. The word opposes means that God is hostile toward you and will resist you if you are proud. It can literally mean that God will set himself up against you. So I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm keeping it real. Good luck with overcoming that one and winning that battle. God Almighty, you're never going to win that one. See, from the very moment you begin operating with a proud heart, I need you to understand that God immediately sets himself against you. And by the way, again, when God does this, it's hopefully to save you, to give you a wake-up call, and not to harm you. as long as you're operating in the spirit of haughtiness, God is not going to hear you. He's just not. Word of God says to some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humble, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. So says Dr. Luke. Now, and again, I want you to notice who Jesus was talking to before he told this story. He was talking to all those who were confident in their own righteousness and those who look down on others. What does that sound like? It sure sounds like haughty eyes to me. Now just imagine, this man went to pray, and all he really did was throw empty words into the air. His words had no impact and did not move God's heart. That prayer was prayed in arrogance. And any prayer prayed in arrogance is a prayer that God will not hear. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, because I love you, don't go up there in all your arrogance and your little prideful self thinking you're about to pray, because God's not going to hear you. You are wasting your breath and your time. See, this man's pride positioned him to experience the humbling of God, because he will humble every person who lifts themselves up. Pride will get in the way of God hearing your prayers, so make sure if you have so much of a residue of it in your heart that you pray and you repent and you ask God to remove that thing right now.
Yeah.
The word of God says in Psalm 56:18, and I'm going to just paraphrase, if I regard sin and basement in my heart, that is, if I know it is there and I don't do anything about it, why would I even expect the Lord to hear me? He's not going to hear me. When you operate in this spirit of haughtiness, you have positioned yourself for disgrace and destruction. Now, I'm going to read you some verses. And as you listen to them, I want you to focus on the dire consequences that the Bible says are the result of haughty eyes and a pride heart. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 18:12. Before a downfall, the heart is haughty. But humility comes before honor. Proverbs 29:23, pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. Look at these words, disgrace, destruction, downfall, being brought low. See, all those things are connected with that spirit of haughtiness, that spirit of pride. Then the interesting thing about haunty eyes is that you see yourself as one way and you really miss the true peril that you're in. This is one of the dangers of pride, because it leads to this fifth consequence of a prideful heart. You are deceived. You are deceived. You are deceived. Yes, you are deceived. That's a big 10-4 on the deception. See, the pride of your heart has, the word of God says in Obadiah 1, verses 3 through 4, the pride of your heart has deceived you, who live in the clefts of the rock and make your home on heights. You who say to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground? Though you soar like the eagle and make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord.
Yeah.
You see, there's a deceptive aspect about a pride, a proud heart and haughty eyes. You believe you are greater than you are, smarter than you are, better than you are, safer than you are, and more well-off than you are. And in that, you will go to any lengths to give that, to keep that false perception going. The arrogance of the heart causes an inflated opinion of oneself. And it causes you to see yourself in the wrong light. When we are haughty, we become the center of our universe. Everything revolves around us. There is little, if any, concern for what others think, and there is absolutely no consideration of all, at all, for the will of God. When you are dealing with pride, just know haughtiness is the trunk of that tree. And from that tree, all other sins sprout. When we are at the center of our world, then nothing that we want is unlawful to us. People with proud hearts also miss God because they simply forget how much they need him. And we should never, ever, ever become that person. Now, I'm going to read you some things here, and there are going to be four major subdivisions of this, these spirits, and they're operating, and they operate in this, and namely, they are accusation, competition, many idolatry, and pride. Those are the four subdivisions of the spirit of pride and haughtiness. When we look at accusation, have you never, proud people can be very critical. They're always judging. They don't like this because of this. They don't like that because of that. You know, they're prejudiced against things. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like that. Then it brings on that spirit of competition. And when people are competitive, they like being argumentative. They also get very bullheaded. Okay? And then sometimes they just get, you know, use headstrong intimidation. Or they can become scheming. Okay,
amen.
They can.
Yeah.
They want to win by any means necessary. They do not care if they step on your toes. They don't care if they step on your heart. They don't care if they step on your head, as long as they feel like they're winning. And under pride, there's all the usual. We have arrogance, conceit, cynicism, egotism, bashment, forwardness, gloating, leviathan, pride of life, self-assertiveness, self-centeredness, self-exaltation, selfishness, and self-justification. Remember how I told you earlier you better not call pride out? Oh, how dare you call me out? And then the final one is mind idolatry. And under that, you will have words like, oh, you like to make excuses for the sin that you're in. or you want to sit around, you want to sit around and intellectualize the word of God. Mm-hmm. Or you like to do these grand rationalizations of the word of God. You know, or sometimes you just reject the word of God. I'm self-reliant. I'm self-righteous. I have a Pharisean spirit, which means I'm doing the right things, so I'm going to get my reward regardless. Mind idolatry takes you to that place of vanity and superiority. You're a legend in your own mind, my brother, my sister, when you operate in the spirit of pride and haughtiness. Psalms 10:2 says, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in devices that they have imagined. Then in chapter 73, verse 6, you can see, therefore, pride encompasses them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. Proverbs 11:12, when pride comes, then shame comes. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 21:4, a high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. So we can see in these general warnings about pride and her sister haughtiness that it is it's sinful. And you know what? Because it's sinful, Satan has the ability to use this and attack us without us even knowing it, if we do not keep our hearts, our minds, and our spirits stayed on Jesus. Now, other references dealing with haughtiness can be found in 2 Samuel 22:28. And Isaiah 3:6, Isaiah 16:6, Jeremiah 48:29, Zephaniah 3:11. Now, some, I hate to say this, but I'm going to just let it be known, servant leaders can be some of the biggest entertainers of spiritual pride and haughtiness. And they're no different than leaders in the Bible from the past, like Pharaoh in Exodus 5:2. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Oh, but I know you wish you would have been. I know you wish you would have now, huh? Or what about Naaman in 2 Kings 5:11? But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out of me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. People, pride causes hurt people to hurt people.
Amen.
Uzziah, 2 Chronicles 26:16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. So we can see time and time and time again where leaders in the Bible, you know, they just decide, oh, we're not serving God. But I came to tell you tonight, truly, pride does go before the fall. And this spiritual principle will never, ever fail unless you really repent, you know? And I'm going to give you some spots, because for instance, spiritual pride, examples of spiritual pride are found in Job 33:9. I am clean without transgression. I am innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. Oh, alrighty then. You see, when the word of God says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Yes.
So, you know, in Luke 18:11, the Pharisees stood and prayed thus with themselves, God, I sing to thee that I am not as this other man. God didn't hear that prayer. He sure didn't. You know, 1 Corinthians 4:18 says, now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. Huh. So you can see that a lot of times, you know, you can see the full, some of the just a small glimpse of the ramifications of this problem. Now, Satan can use any of these evil traits to attack people without them knowing it, and spiritual ignorance is the biggest one, I believe, is one of the biggest problems in Christendom. See, we have to look at ourselves, too, and check ourselves. We have to do a spirit check on ourselves. Do we have any of those traits? Well, if we do, then we need to call on the Holy Ghost, repent, and we better do a burning. I mean, look, we better throw that thing on a bonfire, never to go pick it up again. So what we have to remember, and again, we've got to get humble. We have to get humble. We have to get, you know, we have to get humble. You know, it's hardy eyes that wreck heaven. Lucifer, you know, Satan's arrogance is what made him think he deserved to be seated on the throne. And as we can see, it didn't end up too good for him. It didn't end, not gonna, look, it didn't end up well for him. So anytime we need to know that when we act with pride within our hearts, when we're haughty, then we need to humble ourselves. We need to go and repent to God and say, hey, Lord Jesus, forgive me. And if you want to keep this in before you by staying humble, I want you to remember these two verses right here, Romans 12:3. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. That's one. And the other, let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interest, but also each of the interests of others. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So Christ this Jesus. Is from the Amplified Version. It says, let Jesus be the example of our humility. We should be doing nothing for motives, through contentiousness, through strife, through selfishness, or for unworthy ends. We shouldn't be prompted to conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility and lowliness of mind, let us regard one another more higher than we regard ourselves. The remedy of a haughty eyes and proud hearts is just to simply remember who we are and who Jesus is. So if we would take the same attitude that Jesus did, we won't have any room for haughty eyes or pride, which brings us to this other set. A demonic mopsy twins, and that's evil, and that's envy and jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're never going to see one without the other. Now, jealousy says, I want what you have. Mm-hmm. Envy says, you should have what you have. Ha!
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's why you don't see one without the other.
Amen.
Okay? I'm just going to keep it real up in here.
Yeah.
You know, the enemy knows full good, the enemy knows good and well how dangerous we can be to his kingdom when we walk as true children of God and we grow into the maturity in who God is in us. There is nothing scarier to old flathead Satan and his evil spirit. So he has carefully crafted ways to subvert us and to keep us from that understanding. And one of these, some of the ways is through these boxy twins right here. Deception from the spirit of envy and jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and the reason he can get away with it is because there's too many people in the body of Christ that they're just not content. As children of God, it is important for us to be content in our own journey and develop our own trust in our Heavenly Father and
right.
trust that he has our best interests in heart.
Yeah.
See, an
mm-hmm.
envious
right.
and a jealous spirit won't let us come to that place of trust. See, it will just constantly divert your attention from the way the Father is gently trying to lead you. See, it'll get you focused
right.
on people and what they have and where they are
mm-hmm.
spiritually or how successful they are, what
yeah.
positions they hold, and the list goes on and on and on and on.
Mm.
The Word of God says in 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. You see,
oh,
we
yeah.
have to come to terms with the reality that everyone has their own unique journey. And God
right.
is growing each of us into a specific position that he created for his body.
Amen.
And when we see other people, when we see other persons that have found their place and they're thriving in their calling, what do too many of us do? Oh, we want to compare ourselves to them.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of envy and jealousy is a sneaky trap because, you see,
mm-hmm.
they get us to become focused on other people's successes and positions, and then we never grow up.
That's right.
We never grow up because we're too
mm-hmm.
busy coveting what our neighbor has.
Yes.
That's why
That's
the
right.
Word of God tries to reiterate to us over and over and over and over. For as the body is one and has many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been
mm-hmm.
made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is
right.
not one member, but many. If the foot
mm.
shall say, because I am the, if the body, wait a minute. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear
yeah.
shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Hallelujah. If the whole body were
mm.
an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But how has
yeah.
God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleases him?
Yes.
Yes.
And if they were all one yes. member, where were the body? That's found in 1
mm-hmm.
Corinthians chapter 12.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. See? We have to get this down in our, we got to get this down in our spirit. This war we fight is not personal. Uh-uh.
Mm-mm.
It's deadly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, the enemy hates God, and he hates everything and everybody that belongs to God. And you can
yeah.
see through the scripture how the enemy can divert anybody member from their designated roles. He can actually sabotage the body of Christ. Spiritually speaking, we are no longer just battling this principality for our personal health and welfare, but for the wholeness and the unity of the body of Christ. You know why?
Amen.
Because the spirit of envy and jealousy can create a sort of spiritual disease in the body of Christ.
Amen.
And, of course, this is exactly what old flathead Satan would like to do. You know, he wants to cause members to look at one another and then get sidetracked from what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll bring in the comparisons. He'll bring in the coveting. He'll bring in the pride.
Mm-hmm.
Then he'll bring in the fear. Then he'll bring in the bitterness. Yeah. Oh, he'll have it rushing in like a flood. You know, and all of these spirits that I am describing to you tonight, they cause division, accusation, and strife that will make every opportunity to tear apart the unity of the body of Christ.
Yes.
Now, another tactic the enemy might use through this is to cause a person to compare themselves to others and then try to conform themselves and to the image of another instead of the image of God. Huh? No. I don't care how wonderful people I think I am, how good of a teacher I become. Don't be ye imitators of me. Be ye imitators of Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I got to keep it humble and I got to keep it real. Because, see, when you want to do everything, but see, that's how pride gets people. Pride gives the misconception, the false perception that they're doing so much better off, more better off than they are. So then when people get to turn around in their comparison, guess what they see? You know, oh, mister, I am super Christian over here. So we have to remember that we need to stay in our lane.
Amen.
Don't try to, you know what? I love Apostle Zeta. I love her. But I'm not Apostle Zeta.
I'm not going to try
to do things the way God might have Apostle Zeta doing them. Because God's got me doing things the way he has me doing things.
Amen.
I love Pastor Vanessa and the way she teaches. But I'm not going to try to conform the way I teach to the way she teaches.
Amen.
Amen.
And there, I mean, because she's phenomenal. But then that wouldn't be me doing what God told me to do.
Yeah.
You know, and then just think about it, saints. When you get caught up in this spirit of jealousy and envy, you're going around trying to be something that you're not. And then you're walking around afraid that you're going to be found out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you build yourself up until, you know, you literally paint yourself into a garden.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I tell you what, again, we need to first and foremost understand that the spirit of envy and jealousy brings about some real problems. Because, see, there are people walking around that, first of all, lying on God, saying that God called them because they done saw Bishop Lester over there, and they done said to themselves, well, if he can do it, I can do it. You know.
No, you can't.
You know. Or they look over there and they see that he has a successful architecting firm. Well, how did he get that? What did he have to do to get that? Why does he deserve that? That's what it does.
That's what it does.
Yeah.
And how can you really be one if you're sitting up giving people the side eye?
Right.
You know, you're sitting up looking at them like they've somehow done you wrong. But you know what else? Jealousy and envy and jealousy, the spirits of envy and jealousy does, it causes one to have an issue with accepting who they are.
Right.
It gives them an issue or an identity crisis. Hear me now.
Mm-hmm.
They get an identity crisis.
Right.
And then when they behave in a way and that rejection may come or that bitterness may come or, you know, or they feel like any little sense of disapproval, any little, you know, then they're mad, they're bitter.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, and you cannot walk around thinking the whole world has wronged you all the time. And then wonder why your body is breaking down.
Right.
You know,
right.
We cannot continually set ourselves up like as victims. You know, we can't go out and do, you know, we can't be sitting around being jealous hearted and begrudging people.
Amen.
And then play the victim.
Well,
yeah.
I just don't understand. I've been praying. I probably pray more than they do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But what we need to do, saints of God, if we find ourselves there, is we need to repent that thing. We need to say, Lord Jesus, you know what? I know that every good and perfect work starts and begins with you.
Yeah.
That's what you say in your holy word in Philippians 1 and 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. That's what it says in 1 Thessalonians.
Yes, it does.
So if you believe that, then what you got to be jealous of your neighbor for? Why are you envying, you know, what they have?
Amen.
If the word says that we are accepted in the beloved, why are we trying to be something or somebody else? Why are we striving or performing to be anything other than who we were designed to be? And if the word says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God knew us before he even placed us in the womb, how can we think that we are an accident or a mistake? How can we think that God has not accepted us? How can we believe that God does not know who we are? He knows our name. He knows every hair on our head. So if God has already said, I love you, I accept you, what are we worried about? Sister Jacobs for Deacon Thornton, who cares?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Who cares what they have? So the question becomes, can you accept yourself? Because God wants you to. He wants you to accept yourself as his son or his daughter. He wants you to start walking around in confidence with him, in him. Right where you're at. No. None of us have arrived. We never are. Not until we hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Then you can say, okay, we made it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God doesn't care about, you know, how right we are or how good we looked or how well we performed. That's not important to our Father in heaven. What he treasures is a heart that desires to seek him, love him, and be like him when we grow up. He needs teachable spirits. He needs teachable children, not children who are running around trying to be something or do something important. Lord Hammer. You see, and I'm going to tell you this. I have accepted who I am. I have accepted my limitations, but I serve a big God. And I am here to testify tonight that I have great, and I do mean great peace, just in knowing that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to beat myself up. Yes, I tell everybody, I might not get it right all the time, but I'm not perfect. I'm being perfected.
Amen.
I might not have all the answers, but you and I can go to God together.
Yes. Amen.
You know? And then trust the process. Trust the journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have to walk afraid. We will not let the enemy attack us with these spirits that come in on the tail, on the back of fear and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to do that.
Right.
If God says we are more than a conqueror, more than conquerors, that means above and beyond. See, now you know me, me and my sense of humor, you know, when I think about being more than conquerors, I'm saying that's like defeating the enemy, killing him, burying him, digging him back up, and then beating him down another 6 feet. That's more than conquerors. You know, that's more. You know, that's above and hallelujah is basically what God will do to us every time we fall short. He will break us down and he will build us back up if we only allow him to.
Oh,
if we
yeah.
do not let our pride cause us to continue to remain. And, you know, people, like I said, people might not think, I don't walk in pride. Oh, yeah, when you ask those little questions, those little, you know, who are you? First of all, who are we to question God about anything he's doing? You know, when we do things and we really want somebody to say, atta girl, that way to go, atta boy, or atta girl, you know, when we really think, well, you know, I didn't have to do what I did, but I did it. Oops. You're on a slippery slope. Because, see, if you're doing anything for anyone other than to give God glory, other than to open up an opportunity to share your faith with God, then you just did it for your, you know, you did that for you, which means you did that out of your pride, which means God ain't thinking about you. That might be harsh, but he is not thinking about you. If you've got to keep, if somebody has to keep on telling you how wonderful you are because you bought $10 from worth of Girl Scout cookies from their child one year, something is wrong.
Amen.
When somebody has to continually tell you, thank you, the only person that we should continually be thanking is God.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
If you need to be thanked by man, if you need to be glorified by man, if you need to be honored by man, then you are wanting the glory and the honor that only God should have. And again, God is not thinking about you. He loves you, but he's not thinking about you when you're in your pride. Like I told you, he hates it. He sets himself against you. He will not hear your prayers. He will not
Amen.
Until you repent. So we know that we can overcome any of these foul spirits simply by staying close to God through prayer, by keeping a reachable, teachable spirit, by being real about our situation and where we're at in them, and being prepared to do the work. See, a lot of us want to tell God, oh, God, I want to change. And then God sends opportunities where we can actually do that. And then we're going to tell him, no, not today. Well, I didn't want to do exactly that.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, well, I told you, but not exactly Look, God, can we do this on Wednesdays? Wednesdays is really a better day for me. Come on, people.
Glory to God. Yeah.
Come on, people.
Amen.
Come on, people. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Know your adversary. Now, those are my sets and my double set of twins for tonight. And I'm going to open up the room so the other servant leaders can come on in if they would like to have a comment or a word, or you have a comment or a question, or you can simply press your one, and I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your number. And again, this teaching is not being taught out of judgment or out of condemnation. Look, I don't want us to miss the mark. I don't want us to be walking around afraid to be the wonderful, awesome creations that God created us to be. I want us to live in that. I want us to live that abundant life now. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm going to go through the room. As a matter of fact, everybody is unmuted, so whoever would like to start, if you would like to have a comment or a question, or you just want to, like I said, touch and agree, feel free, thanks to God.
Thank you, Apostle Cook. That was awesome. That was an awesome teaching tonight. Really hit home, I'm sure, for all of us. Really do appreciate you bringing this to the forefront and making us be accountable for our own pride and not necessarily self-loathing, but being self-centered. There you go. Sometimes we don't even realize we're doing it in the moment. And then, you know, later we kind of realize, well, maybe that wasn't really a nice way to say that or do that. So I appreciate you bringing this to our attention to be able to be more mindful of these things so that we can get more better examples to others on how to follow Christ and how to behave as Christ followers. So thank you.
Amen.
I
love you, Minister Tina. Thank you, dear. Anybody else? Come on in the room. Oh, before I get out of here, Pastor Vanessa, don't let me forget to have you seal this message, this teaching in the Word of God. But in the meantime and in between time, you can come on in and have and put your look. Put your stuff on it. Bishop and Pastor. They must be having technical difficulties.
Well, Apostle Cook, while you're waiting on them, I would just like to say I praise God for your teaching tonight. It added on to what the other three parts of your teaching has been. And maybe this is even more profound because it tells you exactly how God feels about some of this. And if we're out there playing around with it and dabbling in it, we need to stop. As you say sometimes, stop, drop, and let God fix us and help
Amen.
Us continuing on this
Amen.
Path because it's only going to bring us destruction and it's only going to bring us to a place of destruction. And we don't realize that, but anytime you start comparing yourself to others and telling people what they don't serve it because God's given it to them and he didn't give you that same thing and you've been praying for it for a long time. You know, if God don't want me to have it, I don't want it because it will not bring me anything but destruction. So
Amen.
I thank you for this lesson. I thank you for these scriptures. I'll be looking at them more closely and studying on them. I love that. You know I love to study, so you know where you got that from. And I love to study, and I just thank you, and I praise God for you.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
Do we have the Carvers with us now?
Apostle Zeta's here.
Okay, well, all right, Apostle, come on in the room.
Are they
then.
Here?
Okay, go ahead, Apostle Zeta.
Okay, well, I enjoy the teaching, and I think it is so important that we hear this kind of teaching often, because people can get set in their ways and become prideful and all of these other spirits that you mentioned. And it is so important that we center ourselves, you know, in God, in His Word, and that we, you know, we know we're going to have these kinds of things that are, Satan is wicked. And he's going to always be trying to kill, steal, and destroy us, also to divert us and bring about deceit and all these kinds of things. And so we just have to be ready and be aware of it, that we can come against these demonic forces, these spirits, you know, that it's Satan that brings them. Because even when Jesus was on the 40-day and 40-night fast, Satan thought he could trick him. And but Jesus put the word upon him. And that's what we have to do when we notice these things. And as you were saying, we need to, when we notice them, one thing we need to do is to repent. But, you know, we are overcomers, to remember that we already have the victory. And we don't have to get caught in these kinds of things. But we should be prepared when these kinds of things begin to enter in us, to know where it's really coming from, you know.
Yeah.
And we're going to have these seasons where the enemy is going to come in, especially when we've gone through, like, or even just the fasting, like Jesus did, you know, because we're a little bit weaker after we've been fasting. We've been without food and sometimes also without water. So our bodies are weakened. And so Satan comes to attack us, and he tries to make us think that he owns certain things, that we have to come by him in order to get them. And I think that's why, you know, a lot of people get caught up in jealousy and envy, because they're not looking to God, but they're looking
at
what someone else has, and they want that. And not only do they want that, but they also don't feel like that person deserves it.
That's right.
And that's really bad, because, you know, the Bible tells us that jealousy is crueler than the grave. And
yes,
it is.
They'll even
kill to get it, you know, and
that's right.
You know, that's really bad. Yeah, because then that spirit leaves jealousy and envy and develops into murder. You know, in order
to
have what they want that already belongs to someone else. And if we look
at
the Word of God in the way that we should, we know that we already have. We already have. We just have to trust God, you know, and His timing in receiving what He has already given us. So we don't need to be looking at what somebody else has. Matter of fact, when someone in the body of Christ or whoever, we don't have to really know them, but we should be rejoicing with them when they achieve or when they receive.
That's
You know, rather than be grudging or hating that they have it and we don't have it and all that kind of stuff. That is of the devil. And you know, the Bible says rejoice with those that are rejoicing. You know, be happy for them. And know that whatever you have asked God for is coming, as long as you continue to, you know, walk upright and also continue to trust and believe Him for what He said He would do. He already promised us, you know, that He would give us what we ask for. So I just wanted to mention that. And also,
oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to stop. Okay. I love the teaching on those spirits, those demonic spirits.
Me too.
Because we need to know about them
because,
and how to combat them.
Yes, because,
amen,
you know, it's so easy to slip into them. You know, especially when we get as older people, you know, for instance, we don't realize just how easy it is for us to slip into our pride or our haughtiness or even our jealousy, because we can be out, in public, and we can see, you know, when we look at our young people with their multicolor hair and their modes of dress these days, you know, it starts with you just saying, now they know they shouldn't have that on. You know, if you walk around and you say that to about every young person that you see, that before you know it, you're walking around thinking you better than people.
Yeah.
Where's their mom? They must have not gave them no home training. Where's their mother? They must have not was raised right. Or what about, you know, the servant leader? I've seen this. And I just shake my head. You know, there's certain servant leaders, some servant leaders, they don't want to, they want to go when it's time, if they're in a prayer meeting or if they're in a function, they want to sit back and see what everybody else does.
Amen.
And then here they come, like, I'm going to shut this thing down.
Yeah.
And I've sat and watched God shut them down.
Amen.
You know, I've seen people that put their faith in their vocal cords or their voices. You know, they might have had the best voice in the room, but because when they got up to sing, I'm gonna shut this down for the Lord. God, he wouldn't let them sing a note.
Amen.
So you see,
amen.
The enemy can take you there without you even realize you're going. You be done bought your ticket on the bus and don't even know you ride.
Amen.
So we've got to constantly check self-examination. Now I'm going to check back with the Carver camp and see if they are still having technical difficulties. Bishop Carver, are you with us? We can't hear you, Bishop. The Lord really doesn't want him to get into it tonight, but We praise God. Yeah, well, you know what? I'm just going to have a word of prayer. Most questions, Heavenly. If there's anybody else who would like to make a comment or ask a question, you're more than welcome. We still have time. But, Father God, right now, I come in the name of Jesus, just praising you for this teaching. Just thanking you, Father God, that you allow me to present your word. And I pray, Lord God, that it blessed and impacted your people. And, Lord, right now, I pray in the name of Jesus, if somebody doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, that they would come out of self, they would come out of pride, that they would come out of darkness and turn to you, Lord Jesus, that they would begin to seek you all the more, that they would begin to want to pattern their lives after yours, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, I pray that you would just truly strengthen, edify, and continue to walk with your saints, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus that if somebody on tonight gave their life to you, Lord, I know that they did, and I just pray that they would just continue to hold on to your hand, Lord. Continue to listen to your voice, Lord God. Continue to study to show themselves approved in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I want to thank you for every servant leader that was present, every person that is present here tonight. Lord God, I want to thank you for Bishop and Pastor Carver, Lord God.
Yes.
The enemy did not want them to speak tonight because there is no reason for us not to hear them, Father God, except that they are being blocked. But God, we know that this study is going to, we're going to hit the same thing next week. So whatever they were going to say this week, Lord God, we pray that you would enable them to say it next week. Lord, we just want to thank you for all the wonderful things that you're doing in us, through us, and for us. So Lord God, We just pray that you continue to strengthen us so that we might go back and strengthen the brothers. We pray this and all other things in your son Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Well, if there be nothing else, you have indeed been listening to the Spirit Alive Network on tonight. This was Taking It to the Streets. Overcoming Fear and Anxiety in 2023. Tonight's program topic was Know Your Adversary. Next week, we're going to be looking at some more of those spirits and those scriptures so that we will not get caught up and will not be overtaken by fear and anxiety through the other spirits that come in like a flood behind them. So on behalf of myself, I want to thank Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver. I want to thank Minister Tina Brown, and of course Apostle Zeta Flowers. I want to thank all of you, our listeners that are in the room tonight. And I praise God that we have the opportunity each and every week to come out and just give God glory. So, I want to thank the Lord for any other servant leaders that are in the house tonight. If you are here, we are grateful for you. You did not make yourself known, but if you would like to say anything, you're more than welcome. Hallelujah. But if there be nothing else, all right, this has been Apostle Shalene Cook for Taking It to the Streets. On behalf of myself and the other servant leaders that were gathered here today, pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and it is our fervent prayer from our household to yours that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, everybody. I love you.
Amen.
Good night. I love you, Apostle Zeta. I love you, Minister Tina.
I love you all.
Good night,
everyone.
Everybody.
Be blessed.